Our glories to the assumed votives. Our glories to the assumed votives. Our glories to Shri Guru and Garanga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verses 6 and 7. Passing away of Vishvadev. Parvata Narada Tamya. Bhagavan Bhadarayana. Brihadashva Paratvaja. Sashishya Renaka Sutta. Vashishta Indra Pramadas.
Vashishta Indra Pramadas.
Trito Krit Samadha Sitaha.
Trito Krit Samadha Sitaha.
Kakshivan Gautamo Trishcha.
Kakshivan Gautamo Trishcha.
Kaushiko Tasudarshanaha.
Kaushiko Tasudarshanaha.
Chant. Ladies. Parvataha, Parvat Muni, Naradaha, Narad Muni, Tamyaha, Tamya, Bhagavan, Incarnation of Godhead, Bhadarayanaha, Vyasadeva, Vihadashaha, Vihadashva, Paradvajaha, Paradvaj. Sashishaha, along with disciples, Venukastaha, Parshuram, Vashishtaha, Vashishta, Indrapamadaha, Indrapamada, Tritaha, Trita, Vritsamadaha, Vritsamada, Asitaha, Asita. Bhakshivan, Bhakshivan, Gautamaha, Gautama, Achihi, Achri, Cha, and Kaushikaha, Kaushika, Atta, as well as Sudarshanaha, Sudarshan. Translation. All the sages like Parvatuni, Narada, Domya, Vyas, incarnation of God, Vihadashva, Bhardvaj, and Parashuram, and disciples, Vishishta, Intrapamada, Chitta, Gritsamada, Asita, Kakshivam, Gautama, Achi, Kaushika, and Sudarshan were present. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam lam pateke kim yaki pantaham pande si gurun tinatarna. Om agana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur meditam yena tasamai shi kurave namo.
Purport. Parvat Muni is considered to be one of the oldest sages. He's almost always the constant companion of Narada Muni. They're also spacemen, competent to travel in the air without the help of any material vehicle. So we had spacemen, we have spacemen, the scientists should learn about these spacemen. Maybe it will help them to make better spaceships when they figure out how these Narada and Parvat travel without the spaceship. Yes, this was going on many thousands of years ago. We had spacemen, we had airplanes, we had everything. It's not just a modern achievement. Parvat Muni is also a Devarshi, or a great sage amongst the demigods like Narada. He was present along with Narada at the sacrificial ceremony of Maharaj Janamejaya, son of Maharaj Parikshit. In the sacrifice, all the snakes of the world were to be killed. So we have information from 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janamejaya. There it talks about the fire sacrifice, of the snake sacrifice, because Parikshit, the father of Janamejaya, was killed by Takshaka, a snake. So his son wanted revenge. He wanted to kill Takshaka immediately. So he started a snake sacrifice to destroy all the snakes of the world. So Takshaka was a very special snake. He had protection from Indra. But as far as I remember in Mahabharata, when they were performing the sacrifice, they were chanting the mantras to make Takshaka fall in the fire. And Indra was also falling along with Takshaka into the fire. So then what happened was Brihaspati came and he stopped Maharaj Janamejaya from performing the sacrifice. And he gave two reasons. He said, one reason, you cannot kill Takshaka because he's drunk the nectar of the demigods. So we'd have to look that up in Mahabharata to find out that story. Maybe some of it spilled when it was the ocean of milk was being churned and the demons were fighting over it. He got some of that nectar. And the second reason why Janamejaya shouldn't kill Takshaka is a philosophical reason that all living entities must enjoy the fruits of their past activities. So, you see, your father, he's just getting his karma. You let him have it, you know. So Janamejaya listened and he stopped the sacrifice. He was convinced by Brihaspati. And so then, Parvat Muni. Like Narada Muni, Parvat Muni also used to visit the royal assembly in the heaven of King Indra. So interplanetary travel was going on here many, many years ago, and still going on with these sages, although they don't like to come down here anymore. Actually, Srila Prabhupada did say that in London, to make a Vyasa-san for Narada Muni and Brahma, because they are coming for darshan of the deities. So they do come sometimes. And in Vrindavan, they say the demigods come for Sandhya Arti. The demigods are coming down. This is Kali Yuga. We don't see these things so much. As a Gandharva, sometimes he visited the royal assembly of Kuvera, one of the important demigods. So the Gandharvas go to Kuvera, and the Gandharvas go to Brahma's assembly. They also travel. Both Narada and Parvat were once in trouble with the daughter of Maharaj Sunjaya. Maharaj Sunjaya got the benediction of a son by Parvat Muni. So we won't tell that pastime because we like to see Narada Muni as he is in our disciplic succession. So now here's Narada Muni. He's next. Narada Muni is inevitably associated with narrations of the Puranas. He is described in Bhagavatam. In his previous life, he was a son of a maidservant. But by good association with pure devotees, He became enlightened in devotional service. And in the next life, he became a perfect man, comparable with himself only. And so you can't compare Narada with anyone except himself. What can we say? I guess we could say that about Prabhupada. Can't compare anyone with Prabhupada except Prabhupada himself. In the Mahabharata, his name is mentioned in many places. He is the principal Devarshi, or chief sage, among the demigods. He is the son and disciple of Brahmaji, and from him the disciplic succession in the line of Brahma has been spread. He initiated Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and many celebrated devotees of the Lord. He initiated even Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures, and from Vyasadeva, Madhvacharya was initiated, and thus the Madhva Sampradaya, in which the Gaudiya Sampradaya is also included, has spread all over the universe. So he's very dear to us because he's in our Sampradaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to this Madhva Sampradaya. Therefore, Brahmaji, Narada, Vyas, down to Madhva, Chaitanya, and the Goswamis, all belong to the same line of disciplic succession. Naradaji has instructed many kings from time immemorial. In Bhagavatam, we can see he instructed Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother, and he instructed Vasudeva, father of Krishna, as well as Maharaj Yudhisthira. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was instructing at the Rajasuya sacrifice because Maharaj Yudhisthira saw Shishupala personally. He saw him merge into the body of Krishna. So he asked why, how did this happen? He asked Narada, who was seated there. So that's when Narada, and the whole seventh canto is the narration of Maharaj, Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira. How did he instruct Vasudev? Obeisances to you, Vasudev said to him in 10th canto, 84th chapter. Please hear me, O sages. Kindly tell us how the reactions of one's work can be counteracted by further work. So Yudhisthira was worried about getting sinful reactions. Vasudev was worried. Father of Krishna. He was really worried. And Narada said, just see, it's not so amazing in his eagerness to know. Vasudeva has asked us about his ultimate benefit, for he considers Krishna a mere boy. And so he's got Krishna as his son, and he's thinking, how can I atone for my sinful reactions, for my sinful deeds? So Narada, he also instructed Chitraketu. And Narada, he had different techniques. He used different techniques for, Chitraketu. When they gave him a beautiful son, Angira and Narada went and they gave him a very beautiful son, Harshashoka. They said, but this son will give you happiness and distress both. And so Chitraketu thought, maybe he'll be a bad boy or something. But no, he died. And so then Narada was explaining to Chitraketu that the relationship between father and son is not factual. It's a representation of the illusory energy, and you should not lament for temporary relationships. So he also instructed King Prachanibharasha, the constitutional position of the Lord and living entity, and he showed him, you're doing all these sacrifices, but look what's going to happen to you after death. Narada instructed Prahlad Maharaj, and in the womb, and Prahlad was in the womb. And when Shingadev asked Prahlad what benediction, Prahlad said, just let me serve my spiritual master. How can I leave his service? And so Narada Muni is amazing, and we're very fortunate that he is in our disciplic succession. And if we follow Srila Prabhupada, then we'll get the mercy of Narada Muni as well, and Brahma. So then, next one, Dhaumya. This we may not know so much about him, so I did look up a little bit here. Dhaumya, a great sage, we're back up there, yeah, who practiced severe penances at Utkochaka Tirtha and was appointed royal priest of the Pandava kings. He acted as the priest in many religious functions of the Pandavas, Sanskara, and also each of the Pandavas was attended by him at the betrothal of Draupadi. He was present even during the exile of the Pandavas and used to advise them in circumstances when they were perplexed. He instructed them how to live incognito for 1 year, and his instructions were strictly followed by the Pandavas during that time. So that was the last year of their exile, the 13th year, and they were living at the palace of Virat. His name is mentioned also in the general funeral ceremony was performed after the battle of Kurukshetra. So he was the family guru, so he probably did that. Marriage of Draupadi, he was there to marry Pandavas with Draupadi. In the Anam Shasana Parva of Mahabharata, he gave very elaborate religious instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was actually the right type of priest, of a householder, for he could guide Pandavas on the right path of religion. A priest is meant for guiding the householder progressively in the right path of ashram dharma, or occupational duty of a particular caste. There's practically no difference between the family priest and the spiritual master. The sages, saints, and brahmanas were especially meant for such functions. That's interesting. Nowadays, I think in our movement, we do make a difference between the family priest and the spiritual master. If someone has been initiated out, has a family priest, I think in India, they get the Brahmin thread. The Brahmins get a Brahmin thread at a young age, but then they may join ISKCON, and then they get initiation again. So they're, in that case, now it seems like times have changed in that sense. So let's see about Domya. How did the Pandavas meet Domya? They went to some ashram of sages, and the sages told them where to find Domya's hermitage. So they went to Domya, fell at his feet. And Yudhisthira said, "Oh, greatly learned one, we are Pandu sons traveling with our brother Kunti. On the Gandharva's advice, we seek your shelter. Please become our guide and protector. We are your servants." So then Domya smiled. He made them sit down, and his disciples brought wild fruits there, and they were in the forest and water. And the Pandavas were so happy because they felt, "Oh, now we have our spiritual master, our kingdom, we will get our kingdom back. And Draupadi, we will win Draupadi." This was before they lost the whole kingdom, but it was after their house was set on fire. House was set on fire, they escaped, and they were already incognito as they were traveling as Brahmins at this point. So then, and another thing happened when they were later on in exile in the forest, in Mahabharata, it says that Jayadratha was traveling and he saw Draupadi and he wanted to enjoy her, so he sent her, and the Pandavas were away at that time, and she was at the hermitage, at the hut where they were living. So then he sent messages to her and she refused, and then he came and she knocked him down, but then he did get her to sit on his chariot. And Domya saw this, and he started following the chariot, and the message got to the Pandavas, and they captured Jayadratha and insulted him. But later on, he was responsible for killing Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna. So when Parikshit was born, Domya was there, and he headed all the brahmanas to perform the birth ceremony, he and Kripa. So after Domya comes Badarayana, Vyasadeva. He is known as Krishna Dvaipayana, Dvaipayana, Satyavati Sutta, Parasharya, Parasharatmaja, Badarayana, Vedvyas, etc. He was the son of Mahamuni Parasha in the womb of Satyavati prior to her betrothal with Maharaj Shantanu, father of the great general grandfather, Bhishmadeva. So Prabhupada talks about the birth of Vyasadeva, that if a girl is beautiful, even if she's born of a low family, you can accept her. So she was the daughter of a fisherwoman, but she was very qualified and beautiful. So Parashara was attracted when she was taking the boat over. He was on a boat ride. And so he begot Vyasadeva in her womb. And Srila Prabhupada explained that even in 5,000 years ago, even before, it's not that girls were not giving birth to children before their marriage. They were, and she's an example, Satyavati is an example. But the society was so elevated, it was not commonly done. Kunti is also another example. She had a child before her marriage to Pandu. So Vyasadeva, he was so amazing. He's an incarnation of Krishna. And then Shantanu saw her. He wanted to marry her. But her father objected. No, you have your son, Bhishmadev. If you marry my daughter, her son will not be king. And so Shantanu was upset. He went home. Bhishmadev understood something was wrong. So he asked his father, and his father told him what happened. So Bhishma went to the fisherman and asked for Satyavati to marry his father. And the man said, no, how can I give my daughter? You're here. You'll be the king. And so Bhishma said, no, even if I'm present still, your daughter's son will be the king. And he said, I won't accept the throne. And so then the father said, well, yeah, but maybe your son will take the throne. And so Bhishma said, no, I will be brahmachari. So then he took that brahmachari vrat, devavrata. He's called devavrata. I'll never marry. So then his father gave him the benediction that unless you want to die, you will not die. You will never die. You will remain a very strong brahmachari. And so Bhishmadev remained brahmachari. So let's see. He is a powerful incarnation of Narayana, and he broadcast the Vedic wisdom to the world. As such, Vyasadeva is offered respects before one chants the Vedic literature, especially Puranas. Shukadeva Goswami was his son, and rishis like Vaishampayana were his disciples for different branches of the Vedas. He is the author of the great epic Mahabharata and the great transcendental literature Bhagavatam. The Brahma Sutras, Vedanta Sutras, or Badarayana Sutras were compiled by him. Among sages, he is the most respected author by dint of severe penances. When he wanted to record the great epic Mahabharata for the welfare of all people in the age of Kali, he was feeling the necessity of a powerful writer who could take up his dictation. By the order of Brahmaji, Sri Ganeshji took up the charge of noting down the dictation on the condition that Vyasadeva would not stop dictation for a moment. The Mahabharata was thus compiled by the joint endeavor of Vyasa and Ganesh. By the order of his mother Satyavati, who was later married to Maharshi Shantanu, and by the request of Bhishmadev, the eldest son of Maharshi Shantanu, by his first wife, the Gandhis, he begot three brilliant sons whose names are Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Mahabharata was compiled by Vyasadeva after the battle of Kurukshetra and after the death of all the heroes of Mahabharata. It was first spoken in the royal assembly of Maharaj Janmijaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit. Okay. So he got, Vyasadeva, because Vishnu was a brahmachari, Satyavati's son died, he was killed, he had two wives. Anga was later, she went away. Only two wives, Ambika and Ambalika, he had two wives. So then Satyavati called Vyasadeva, her first child, and asked him to have children with the two wives. So the first one, because he was matted locks and really scary looking, so she closed her eyes, and so therefore her son was born blind, and the second wife, she went pale, and so Pandu was born pale, and then he was supposed to go back with Ambika, but Ambika sent her maidservant instead, and he got Vidura, she got Vidura. So this is the history of Vyasadeva, and he started the Kuru, he kept the Kuru dynasty going. Actually, it was Vyasadeva. Not only was he incarnation of Narayan, he was also the father of the Kuru dynasty. So, let's see, who's next? Briha Dashva, an ancient sage who used to meet Maharaj Yudhisthira now and then. First of all, he met Maharaj Yudhisthira at Kamyavan. This sage narrated the history of Maharaj Nala. There is another Brihadashva who is the son of the Ikshvaku dynasty, Mahabharata and Parva 209.4 and 5.45. Okay, yes, when the Pandavas were in the forest, all these sages used to come and visit them and give them good advice. And so the story of Nala, I'm not going to tell the story, but it's a really long story. And the husband and wife were the kingdom. They were cheated out of the kingdom by gambling again. And of course, we should learn these lessons. Don't gamble. Of course, we don't gamble. And so that's good for us. We're lucky that we're not kshatriyas. And we don't have to gamble if we're challenged. It's no gambling. That's part of our four good principles. So he lost, Maharaj Nala lost his kingdom by gambling. And he and his wife went to the forest, and then they lost everything, and finally they only had one cloth between them. And so he left her in the middle of the night. He cut off half the cloth and left. And then he was cursed, and he took a whole other ugly form. But then they were united again, and he did learn how to play dice while he was out there. So they got their kingdom back. So that was, they were encouraging Yudhisthira, you will also get your kingdom back, don't worry. And the sages were always out there encouraging the Pandavas. So Bharadvaj, he is one of the seven great rishis and was present at the time of the birth ceremony of Arjuna. So Narada and, Vashishta and Bharadvaj, and Gotam, they're all the seven sages. Four of the seven are listed here in this verse. Okay. The powerful rishi sometimes undertook severe penances on the shore of the Ganges, and his ashram is still celebrated at Prayag Dham. It is learned this rishi, while taking bath in the Ganges, happened to meet Kritachi, one of the beautiful society girls of heaven, and thus he discharged salmon, which was kept and preserved in an earthen pot, and from which Jonah was born. So Jonacharya is the son of Bharadvaj Muni. Others say that Bharadvaj, father of Jonah, is a different person from Maharshi Bharadvaj. He was a great devotee of Brahma. Once he approached Jonacharya and requested him to stop the battle of Kurukshetra. So if he went to Jonah, it sounds like he was his father, could be he was the father of Jonah. But Jonah was the son of a rishi. And let's see what we have here about him. Yes. He's one of the seven rishis. Kashyap, Achi. Oh, Achi is another one. Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Gautam, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaj. Oh, Narada's not one, sorry. Kashyap, Achi, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Gautam, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaj. So in the Rajasuya sacrifice, he was also one of the priests. And he had selected by King Yudhisthira to perform his Rajasuya sacrifice. So Parashuram is next, is he? Yes. Or Renukasuta. He is the son of Maharshi Jamadagni and Shrimati Renuka. Thus he is known as Renukasuta. He is one of the powerful incarnations of God, and he killed the Kshatriya community as a whole 21 times. With the blood of the Kshatriyas, he pleased the souls of his forefathers. He made some lakes. Is that Kurukshetra? He made those lakes? I can't remember. He made some lakes of blood. And that's how he appeased his forefathers. Later on, he underwent severe penances at the Mahendra Parvat. After taking the whole earth from the Kshatriyas, he gave it in charity to Kashyap Muni. Parashuram instructed Dhanurved, or science of fighting, to Dronacharya because he happened to be a Brahmana. He was present during the coronation of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he celebrated the function along with other great rishis. Parashuram is so old that he met both Rama and Krishna at different times. So that's pretty old. If Ram was in this Chatur Yuga, then a few million years. And if he was in a different Chaturyuga, then it was quite a few more millions of years or billions. Who knows? Very, very old. He fought with Ram, but he accepted Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. So he was defeated by Ram. And he also praised Arjuna when he saw him with Krishna. When Bhishma refused to marry Amba, who wanted him to become her husband, Amba met Parshuram, and by her request only, he asked Bhishma Dev to accept her as his wife. Bhishma refused to obey his order, although he was one of the spiritual masters of Bhishma Dev. Parshuram fought with Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma neglected his warning. Both of them fought very severely. And at last, Parshuram was pleased with Bhishma and gave him the benediction of becoming the greatest fighter in the world. So this is also described in Mahabharata, 9th canto, chapter 22. Prabhupada says in the purport that Satyavati, his mother, was actually the daughter of Uparicharavasu by the womb of a fisher woman. So she was special. So there were three daughters of the king of Kashi, Ambika, Ambalika, and Amba. And Bhishma Dev kidnapped them and to give to his brother, Vichitravirya. So Amba thought Bhishma Dev would marry her. She actually didn't want to marry Vichitravirya. She liked some other king, but that king rejected her because she was touched by Bhishma. So then she went back to Bhishma and said, "Now you have to marry me." And Bhishma said, "I'm a brahmachari, sorry." And so then she complained to his guru. I think these things are still happening these days. And I complained to his guru. The guru said, "Okay, we'll fight. Let's fight." And actually, Prabhupada said that Parshuram was defeated by Bhishma. And so, therefore, Amba, she did austerities. And her next, and then she left her body and she took birth as a man. Shikhandini. And then she wanted the death of Bhishma. So then Arjuna knew that this Shikhandini was a woman in the past life. So Arjuna wouldn't. So what Arjuna did was put Shikhandini in front of him when he was fighting with Bhishma. So Bhishma also knew who this Shikhandini was, and he didn't want to fight with him because it was a her in the previous life. And so Arjuna could shoot Bhishma Dev that way. And that's where arrows came from, Arjuna's arrows. Shikhandini's arrows didn't bother Bhishma at all. But Arjuna's arrows, they're the ones that Bhishma Dev is lying on. The bed of arrows are Arjuna's arrows. And so, the next one is Vasishtha. The great celebrated sage among the Brahmanas, well known as Brahmarshi Vasishthadev. He is a prominent figure in both the Brahman and Mahabharata periods. So he, like Parashuram, he's the same age. He's very, very old. He celebrated the coronation ceremony of the personality of Godhead, Sri Ram. He was present also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He could approach all the higher and lower planets, and his name is also connected with the history of Hiranyakashipu. Wonder what that connection is. There was a great tension between him and Vishvamitra, who wanted his Kamadhenu, wish-fulfilling power. Vasishtha Muni refused to spare his Kamadhenu, and for this, Vishvamitra killed his 100 sons. As a perfect Brahmana, he tolerated all the taunts of Vishvamitra. Once he tried to commit suicide on account of Vishvamitra's torture, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. He jumped from a hill, but the stones on which he fell became a stack of cotton, and thus he was saved. He jumped into the ocean, but the waves washed him ashore. He jumped into the river, but the river also washed him ashore. Thus all his suicide attempts were unsuccessful. He is also one of the seven rishis and husband of Arundhati, the famous star. So the story of the cow, he hosted. One time Vishvamitra came with all his soldiers and he hosted him. And how did he host him? He fed him by the means of his commenting the cow. From the cow came all the food and everything. And so Vishwamitra got envious, he wanted the cow, but finally Vishwamitra was defeated by the spiritual strength of Vasishtha. So then Vishwamitra decided, oh, I want to become a Brahmin. And then he went severe austerities on the bank of the Kaushika River. So another thing was that the great sage Palastya is the father of all the demons. Once upon a time, Parashya began a sacrifice in which all the demons were to be burnt to death because his father had been killed and devoured by one of them. So the great sage Vasishtha came and he requested Parashya to stop this sacrifice, and because he respected him, then Parashya stopped that sacrifice. So Vasishtha was there again all over the place. He was born from the breathing of Brahma. So another place that Vasishtha is there is in the Manu, with Manu. When Manu had his first child, Vasishtha was one of the priests to make a sacrifice, and he wanted a son, but his wife messed up the sacrifice because she wanted a daughter. And so they got a daughter, Ila. And Manu was not so happy, so he wanted a son. So then Vasishtha prayed for Ila to be transformed into a boy, and she became Sudumna. So that's Vasishtha was there. Also another son of Manu, Vaivaswata Manu, our Manu, another son was Prishajan. He was supposed to protect the cows at night, but by mistake he killed a cow instead of the lion that was attacking him, because it was dark and he didn't see properly. So in the morning, Vasishtha cursed him, said, your next life, you will be a Shudra, because you killed a cow. The Prabhupada said an interesting thing here. It appears Vasishtha was not free from tamagun, motive ignorance. As the family priest or spiritual master of Prishajan, Vasishtha should have taken Prishajan's offense very lightly. But instead, Vasishtha cursed him to become a Shudra. It is the duty of the family priest not to curse a disciple, but to give him relief through the performance of some sort of atonement. Vasishtha, however, did just the opposite. Therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he was Duramati. His intelligence was not very good. So again, that's the ninth canto, second chapter. Ninth canto, seventh chapter is another story with Vasishtha. Harishchandra performed, he's a king, he performed a sacrifice, and Vishwamitra was the priest. Vishwamitra was angry at the king. He took away all his possessions, saying, this is my dakshina. So Vasishtha didn't like this. So he was fighting with Vishwamitra. And so then one of them cursed the other, may you become a bird. And the other one said, may you become a duck. So they both became birds and they continued fighting for many, many years as a duck and a bird. So even the sages are not so peaceful up there. These things are going on. Another story with Vasishtha. He also cursed another king, Saudasa, to become a Rakshasa. But after 12 years, he was released from the curse, but he still didn't have any children. So then the wife of Saudasa asked Vasishtha to have children. He was arranged to have children for King Saudasa, and she was having a child for so many years but could not give birth. So Vasishtha struck her abdomen with a stone, and a son was born named Ashmaka. Indrapamada, another celebrated rishi. Trita, one of the three sons of Prajapati, Gotam. He was the third son, and his other two brothers were known as Ekat and Dita. All the brothers were great sages and strict followers of the principles of religion. By dint of severe penances, they were promoted to Brahmaloka, planet where Brahmaji lives. Once Trita Muni fell into a well. He was an organizing worker of many sacrifices, and as one of the great sages, he also came to show respect to Bhishmaji at his deathbed. He was one of the seven sages in Varunaloka. He hailed from the western countries of the world. As such, most probably, he belonged to the European countries. At that time, the whole world was under one Vedic culture. So here we have a sage from Europe, Jita. Jita is from the European countries, in case you didn't know. I also heard Kashyap. Kashyap is also from, and that's where you get the Caucasian. You get the name Caucasian from Kashyap. Kashyap. Okay, so I guess we could finish, or we should stop. We should stop here. Is somebody else speaking tomorrow? Or? Oh, okay, I'll just keep going. Greet some other. One of the sages of the heavenly kingdom. He was a close friend of Indra, the king of heaven, and was as great as Brihaspati. He used to visit the royal assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he also visited the place where Bhishmadev breathed his last. Sometimes they explained the glories of Lord Shiva before Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was the son of Vitihavya, and he resembled in features the body of Indra. Sometimes the enemies of Indra mistook him to be Indra and arrested him. He was a great scholar of the Rig Veda, and thus he was highly respected by the Brahmin community. He lived a life of celibacy and was powerful in every respect. Then Asita. There was a king of the same name, but here in the Asita mention is Asita Devala Rishi, a great powerful sage of the time. He explained to his father 1,500,000 verses from Mahabharat. Wow. Okay, yeah, in the heavenly planets, everything's bigger. The Vedas are bigger. I think there's 1 billion verses of the Vedas, according to Tattvasandarbha. If you go to the heavenly planets, then you can hear all of them. He was one of the members in the snake sacrifice for Maharaj Jamanjaya. He was also present during coronation ceremony of Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with other great rishis. He also gave Maharaj Yudhisthira instructions while he was on Anjana Hill. He is also one of the devotees of Lord Shiva. So he's in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna mentions him, that all the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa confirm this truth, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kakshivan, one of the sons of Gautam Muni and father of the great sage Chandrakaushika. He was one of the members of Parliament of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Achi Muni was a great Brahmana sage and one of the mental sons of Brahmaji. Brahmaji is so powerful, simply by thinking of a son he can have it. These sons are known as Manasa Putras. Out of 7 Manasa Putras of Brahmaji, out of the 7 great Brahmana sages, Achi was one. In his family, the great Pachetas were also born. Achi Muni had 2 Kshatriya sons who became kings. King Artama is one of them. He's counted as one of the 21 Prajapatis. His wife's name was Anasuya, and he helped Maharaj Pariksha in his great sacrifices. So when Lord Brahma ordered Achi to have children, they went to perform severe austerities. He was standing up on 1 foot, and he was praying, "May the Lord of the universe be pleased to offer me a son exactly like him." So a blazing fire came out of his head, and all the 3 deities saw, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So all 3 went to him, along with Gandharva, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Nagas. So they came to the ashram of Atri, and so then Anasuya got all 3 of them as her sons, expansions of these 3, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. Soma was an expansion of Brahma, Dattatreya of Vishnu, and Durvasa of Lord Shiva. Kaushika, one of the permanent Rishi members in the Royal Assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He sometimes met Lord Krishna. There are several other sages of the same name. Sudarshan, this wheel, which is accepted by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, as his personal weapon, is the most powerful weapon, greater than Brahmastras or similar other disastrous weapons. In some of the Vedic literature, it is said that Agnidev, the fire god, presented this weapon to Lord Shri Krishna, but factually, this weapon is eternally carried by the Lord. Agnidev presented this weapon to Krishna in the same way that Rukmini was given by Maharaj Rukma to the Lord. The Lord accepts such presentations from his devotees, even though such presentations are eternally his property. There is an elaborate description of this weapon in Adi Parva of Mahabharata. Lord Shri Krishna used this weapon to kill Shishupala, a rival of the Lord. He also killed Shalva by this weapon, and sometimes he wanted his friend Arjuna to use it to kill his enemies. Mahabharata, Virata 56:3. So we hear about this in ninth canto, where Maharaj Ambarish was attacked by Durvasa, and Sudarshan was sent, and he killed the demon that was sent to kill Ambarish, and then he pursued Durvasa, who went to everywhere protection. And even the Narayan could not excuse him, so he had to fold the lotus feet of Ambarish. And Ambarish was very humble, and he felt shy and ashamed because seeing Durvasa at his feet. So then Srila Prabhupada says that this, what is the Sudarshan Chakra? The Sudarshan Chakra is the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by which he creates this material world. So that's the glance, the Sudarshan Chakra. It's most dear to the Lord, has thousands of spokes, killer of prowess of all other weapons, killer of darkness, and manifester of prowess of devotional service. It's a devotee. Sudarshan's a devotee. Means of establishing religious principles, killer of all irreligious activities. Without his mercy, universe cannot be maintained. And so, yes, the Lord is still glancing, and that's Sudarshan. So then Maharaj Ambarish prayed to Sudarshan to be merciful, and Sudarshan refrained from killing Durvasa Muni. So why did all these sages come here? They wanted to hear Bhishmadev Mahajan speak and see him leave his body for Vaikuntha. Although they were all great sages, they still wanted to hear Bhishma because he was a great Mahajan. So in nectar of devotion, Krishna showed his compassion by being present before Bhishma at the time of death. When he was laying on the bed of arrows, then Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and Krishna was speaking with tears in his eyes. So this is the scene that's going on here now. Krishna is here, the sages are here. They've come to hear from the great Mahajan, Bhishmadev, instructions. We'll stop here. Is there any questions? We can ask at this point. His question, Sukha.
I have a question about the gambling match. You know,
which gambling match? Oh, the pandas?
Yeah, the dice game, yeah.
Yeah.
And how, because they challenged him that he was obligated to play, even though he didn't want to play.
Right.
I don't get that.
Yeah, because you're not a Kshatriya.
Okay.
there were rules. There were Kshatriya rules. If someone challenges you to gambling or to fighting, then you have to. And if someone asks you to marry them, you have to accept too.
Oh.
Yeah, if some girl comes and asks a Kshatriya to marry him, he can't refuse. And if some Kshatriya comes and challenges him to fight, he can't refuse. And if someone challenges to gambling, he can't refuse. So even though they were devotees, they were still following the Varnashram system. This is part of the Varnashram. So yeah, everybody wants to follow Varnashram, good luck. we don't know what all the rules are. The rules for Vaishyas, the rules for Grihastas, the rules for Shudra. No rules for Shudra, so you can be a Shudra, I guess. But even the Shudras were controlled. They were controlled in Varnashram, in the ancient Varnashram system. You know, there's stories in Mahabharata about Shudras who were elevated people. Yeah. And they were consulted even by the kings. I was remembering a story, somehow came to my mind. One king was doing a sacrifice, and he was consulting, the brahmanas were consulting the shudras how to plow the field, because the brahmanas had to plow the field with a golden plow. And the shudras were the ones who were plowing. The vaishyas were in charge of the shudras, and the shudras were actually doing the work, plowing the field. Varnashram was quite different. As Prabhupada, he said on a morning walk in Mayapur, you can't follow, sannyasis can't follow, grihasthas can't follow. There was some conflict in 1976, 75. And Prabhupada said, nobody can follow in this age of Kali. You have to just chant Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Chant the holy name. Can't follow all these rules. We don't even know what the rules are. But speak of following them. Don't know what these rules are. Yeah.
I remember that in one part of Prabhupada mentioned that sutras are given more. I was a little surprised.
Sutras are glorified in relation to Krishna consciousness because they have a natural service attitude.
Service attitude, right. Yeah, yeah.
You remember one part of
that? Yeah, there is a purpose.
Prabhupada said that sutras can become devotee easily than others. I was thinking, like, wow.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because they have a service attitude. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yeah, I didn't realize it until yesterday that somebody else is giving the same class tomorrow.
That's right.
That was you?
Don't worry.
It'll be completely different, I know.
You're really wonderful.
It'll be, you'll have all the stories. Find out how did Takshika get the nectar. I'm curious about that. Okay, any other questions? Jaya, glories to Shri Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.